Good morning. Well, I'm here. I made it through VBS. Actually, it was an exciting week, and it was a fun week. We had a blast, and then I had a blast all four of the first 4 days with youth activities every afternoon. That was a fun time. Youth who are in here, did you guys have fun with that? Wow. They had lots and lots of fun, you could tell. So, if you're new or if you're visiting this morning, we want to give you our warmest welcome, and we hope that you feel at home here as much as we feel at home. And if you're having a hard time figuring out where to connect in or something like that, please come talk to me or talk to one of the ushers, and we'll get you plugged in somewhere. I want to invite up real quick Becky Dix, who is our Children's Ministry Director, to say a few words.
I'd like to ask everybody who helped out with Vacation Bible School to stand up. And that includes adults, that includes our youth, that includes decorators. So if you would please stand, I would appreciate it. Now, if you would remain standing, I would like to embarrass you for a couple minutes. VBS is a huge blessing to me personally every year, and that's for a couple of reasons. First is the kids. We see kids that come from our own church. We see kids that we've never seen before. We see kids that visit us every single year for our VBS, because our VBS is something special. That's part of the blessing that I get from VBS every year. The other part of the blessing is the volunteers that help out. This is love in action, because as I look around, I see everybody working so hard to make it work for the kids, to love the kids, to help the kids feel welcome, and to give them a great year, and to be God's voice for these kids. So thank you again.
Being a father of some of our children that were in the program, I just, from the bottom of my heart, also want to thank you and just tell everybody else how important those people who just stood up are as a part of the life of our church, because they have chosen to make an investment in our children and in our youth, and they have sacrificed their time and their energy and sometimes their money to make sure that happens. And so that they're incredibly talented, gifted, and special people in the life of our church. And so let's make sure that we honor them for that as we continue to move forward. Real quick, I want to invite up somebody who you all know very well, but I don't know as well because she lives in another country. But I hear lots and lots of good things about her. And so Kate Greenman is going to come up and share a little bit about what she's doing, and then if you want to hear more, she's going to be doing something in the Mitchell Hall afterwards.
Good morning. Wow. as Pastor Chris said, my name is Kate Greenman, and with my husband Billy, who was unable to make this trip this time, we work with Scripture Union in Peru. Our first interaction with Peru was during the summer of 2001, when we both participated in a short-term mission trip, much like the Gru Peru trip that comes from this church and just was recently in Peru with us. After multiple trips through high school and college, we both felt called to work full-time with the boys' ministry in Peru and have been doing so for just over 5 years. Scripture Union has 5 homes around the country of Peru for abandoned and at-risk boys. Each home is run by a Peruvian Christian family and support staff who help provide integral care for the 20 to 30 boys that live at each home. The kids attend public school, are part of a local church community, and experience what it is like to live within a Christian family while they're in our care. While the children we serve are very culturally diverse, and each come with a different story, they generally have one common element regardless of their background. They all come with a very negative self-image of themselves. Many have undergone years of neglect, abuse, abandonment before arriving to our homes, and after being marginalized and mistreated for so long, many of them believe that they themselves are the problem. A few years ago, one of our homes was doing a musical project, and one of the older boys decided he wanted to write a song. He actually wrote it as a reggaeton, which is a Spanish rap. I will spare you that. But I would like to read the lyrics because it really speaks to many of the stories of the kids that we work with. It is called "This Is My Story." This is my story, this is my reality. Oftentimes I'm tormented in my dark loneliness. Although I want to remember my family, it is too late to recover my past happiness. I was happy as a baby, but that didn't last for long. It turned into a dream and not a reality. As I got older, everything began to change. Day after day, my parents argued. They would fight and they would shout, but I never understood the cause of the problems within my house. Years have passed since then, and I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm now a boy with regret and anger. I have passed through thousands of problems with my family, and into the streets I went. Gangs and evildoers look for me, they pursue me, and they want to finish me. But I continue to survive in this city. I run many risks. I don't know what will become of me. I have bad friends, and they tempt me to rob. I lose control of my hands. I cannot stop them. Daily, I have to flee from my sad reality. I can't accept it. I can't understand it. Help me, Lord. This could be the end of me. Only you can work miracles, and that's why I believe in you. Sadly, this is my life, and I don't know how to change it. My only refuge is drugs and alcohol. I take refuge in these things to forget the problems that I carry on my heart. Standing on a street corner all alone, people look at me and wonder why I even exist, and they judge me without knowing the true reality. Lord, you exist. Please remember me. I didn't realize that there was another unexplainable love. I was lacking it. I needed it. I searched for it. I had never found it, but I know that you, Lord, will give it to me. Oops. Lord, your love will fill the emptiness that my heart has had for so long. They talked to me. They told me about how your love exists. My Father, I ask you to give me new life. I thought that this life was only full of sadness, but now your love has grown in me. For this reason, Lord, I give only thanks to you, because in spite of my errors, you took care of me. That is our prayer for each child, teenager, kid who passes through our doors, whether they're there for a few months or a few years or 10 years. We want them to know and understand that God loves them no matter what has happened in their past. Our message to each child is that they do not have to be defined by their past. Instead, we share that God created them in His image with a specific purpose. For that reason, they have infinite value, they are worthy of being loved, and they are worthy of sharing that love with other people. As a ministry, as an organization in Peru, Billy, myself, we covet your prayers. Would you join me, if you have something to write down, would you pray that the Holy Spirit works through the lives of the 120 kids that we have throughout our five homes? Pray for the staff that work tirelessly, day in, day out with these kids, and may they be role models for the kids in their care. And then for Billy and I specifically, one of the things that we have started doing in the last year and a half or so is studying child development and how trauma affects the development of a child that is taken from their home and now lives in a children's home. Pray for the two of us as we dig deeper into that, and we can find materials that are applicable to the situation and are able to share that with the staff that work at the homes. We as an organization, Scripture Union, have greatly appreciated the long-standing partnership that we've had with this church. You guys have sent a team for the last 16 years, and I think that is probably the longest group, the longest like continual group, and we are so thankful for that. The relationships that the short-term team, the group from the church goes and builds with the kids are impacting their lives, and we can see changes in how they interact with people, and we can see that they are growing their self-esteem. So we greatly appreciate that, and thank you for all of that hard work in sending a group and your prayers for the ministry all year. So, as Pastor Chris said, if you would like to hear more after the service, I will be in Mitchell Hall sharing a couple of other stories of different things that have been going on and a little bit more about the ministry. So we would love to. I would love to see you if you could come. So thank you.
Our call to worship is from Psalm 98. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you with open hearts and minds. Holy is your name. You are the powerful ruler over all, yet you are kind and forgiving with the children of your creation. As we come together today, let us praise you with our songs and dances. Let us praise you with our joy. Help us to be humble like little children. Amen.
But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and rich in unfailing love. God loves us and forgives us when we sin, so let us come together and confess. Lord, like Joseph forgave his brothers, you forgive us when we do things to hurt you. We are sorry for the times we do things wrong and know it is wrong, and for the times we just think to do. We want to come.
Joseph lived a life filled with dramatic highs and disheartening lows. The favored son of Jacob, Joseph sported an elaborate robe and had prophetic dreams. These dreams, however, made him hugely unpopular with his already jealous brothers. Filled with hatred, Joseph's brothers threw him in a well, then sold him to a caravan of Ishmaelite traders who were headed to Egypt. As a slave in Egypt, Joseph gained favor and prosperity with his master. For a while. Then he was wrongly accused and shipped off to Pharaoh's prison. Even in the hopeless depths of an Egyptian prison, things started looking up for Joseph. The warden put him in charge, and the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. When two prisoners had strange dreams, Joseph offered to tell them what the dreams meant. All he asked was this: "Please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh, so he might let me out of this place." The man whose dream foretold great success did get out of prison and gain favor with Pharaoh, but he promptly forgot about Joseph. For 2 long years, Joseph sat in the same prison cell, forgotten. Has it ever felt like you're always facing a new disappointment, setback, or failure? Others get ahead, and you're still sitting in an Egyptian prison. There's hope, my friend. God is pouring out blessings daily. He's promised us a future and a hope. And while you might not succeed in all that you do, you can rely on a faithful God who loves you more than you can imagine.
God. God tells us in his word, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope."
After interpreting dreams for the baker, who was executed, and the cupbearer, who prospered but then forgot about Joseph, Joseph stayed in prison for 2 full years. During those years, it's possible that Joseph questioned God's faithfulness, or cried out for reassurance of God's presence, or maybe he maintained a rock-solid trust in God. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we can imagine that it was a dark, faith-stretching time. Then Pharaoh had 2 mysterious dreams that no one could interpret. The forgetful cupbearer suddenly remembered the man who'd accurately decoded his own puzzling dream. Pharaoh called for Joseph, who boldly said, "It is beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means." Although Joseph acted as the mouthpiece, using his God-given ability to understand dreams, he credited God with the message. It's an understatement to say that Pharaoh was impressed. "Clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are," he told Joseph. Wow. Pharaoh immediately made Joseph second in command, with incredible power and responsibility. Through God's timing and God's gifting, Joseph's special abilities helped Pharaoh ease an entire nation through 7 years of severe famine. Looking more closely at the story of Joseph, you can't help but notice the fact that Joseph used his special ability to interpret dreams wherever he could. Whether in prison or in Pharaoh's court, Joseph faithfully did what God enabled him to do. Today, God still gives each person unique abilities. It's easy for us to spot those abilities in others. The woman who can whip up an amazing meal, that middle schooler who can make anyone smile, the senior citizen whose prayers are so comforting, or the guy who understands computers. These are all special abilities, given by God and useful for serving him. Imagine the impact if we all used our gifts in any circumstance. What could we accomplish in God's name?
In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well.
Hearing God's word, let us now give back to him out of the gifts that he's given to us in worshiping him with his tithes and our offerings. Father, we thank you for all the blessings you have given to us, but this week we especially thank you for our youth and for our children and the gift that they are to us in our community. We thank you for their innocence, for their energy, for their love of each other and their love for this church. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be good stewards of that gift that you have given to us by loving them in your name with every single breath that we have. To show them your grace and your mercy that they might follow you and love you as their Lord for the rest of their lives as well. Lord, this week we also think about the victims and the families of the victims in France. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them. We pray that you would send your church both there in France and from abroad to be a witness to the peace and to the love and the forgiveness found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help the church to stand up as a symbol of that peace and as a healing balm in those places, Lord, where violence reigns and hatred rules the day. Help to make us show people that your love covers over hatred and conquers it in Jesus Christ. Lord, in all these things, we trust you and we know that coming to you, you will answer our prayers, and so we give them up to you now. And we pray the same way that your Son taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now go.
In the blink of an eye, Joseph moved from prison to the palace, a place of incredible power. While Pharaoh gave Joseph a new job, clothes, jewelry, a name, and a wife, God gave Joseph incredible wisdom to save Egypt from famine for 7 years. Joseph wisely and constantly gathered 1/5 of the crops grown in Egypt, and those were 7 abundant years. Joseph collected so much grain that it was like sand on the seashore. Finally, he stopped keeping records because there was too much to measure. Amazing, but soon, the famine that God foretold came to Egypt. Egyptian farmers relied on the annual flooding of the Nile River. The floodwaters deposited rich black soil on the banks of the Nile, where farmers planted their crops. Without the flood, famine would be imminent. This famine was so severe, so far-reaching, that people in Canaan, 200 miles away, felt it too. Joseph's father, Jacob, urged his sons to travel to Egypt and purchase grain. You see where this is going, right? Soon Joseph would really need God's wisdom. As God orchestrated the circumstances that let Joseph face his brothers, the same brothers who sold him into slavery so many years ago. Kids often struggle to choose good friends or might be having a hard time in school. and adults facing job changes or challenging relationships are likely to tell you that wisdom feels out of their grasp. Wouldn't it be easier if God just told us what to do? Maybe. But God has given us incredible resources to solve problems. He's likely surrounded you with a wealth of wise people you can turn to for insight. And challenges are amazing opportunities to tune into God and rely on His ways and wisdom. God's word assures us that if we need wisdom, all we have to do is ask. Like James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you.
All right. Will the children who are here come up and join me up on the chancel up here on the steps? Come on down. Somebody hum something, maybe the Jeopardy song. Do 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 Did you have fun at VBS this week? Yeah? What was your favorite thing at VBS this week? Somebody tell me. Games? Games were your funnest thing? Who was leading games? He was sucking up. John, what was your favorite part? Games was your... John helped lead the games as well.
Taking pictures.
Jeffrey was our photographer all week, so at the end of the service, when we're done, we're going to invite you down to Kate Greenman's presentation, but also if you go down there, you'll see the whole set for VBS, and you'll see on two of the boards as you enter into Mitchell Hall all the pictures from the week, and he did a phenomenal job on those pictures, so make sure. Huh? And Alexandra, too. Alexandra took lots of pictures as well. The two of them were a team all week long, so they did a great job. All right, what else? What was your favorite thing? Anybody in here? Oh, you didn't go? What was your favorite thing? Games was your... Well, she led games with me, too.
Games.
What was your favorite thing? What? Art time? The craft time? Cool. What was your favorite thing, Amaris? No one said that Archibald Ologist the 13th was their favorite thing. No. No one? It was me? Well, yeah, we revealed that on the last day, but I had you tricked all week long. You did not know it was me. No, you knew it was me? Oh, bummer. You didn't know? Good. Thank you, John. All right, so what about the story that we learned about Joseph? What was the thing that stuck out most to you about the story of Joseph? Anybody? Azariah? Something stick out to you?
You forgot,
okay. Because I put you on the spot, probably. Go ahead, Jeffrey. What stuck out to you?
Well, I didn't really go to story because I was taking pictures, but from what I learned, probably the fact that his brothers are so messed up.
Yeah, his brothers, and then he forgave them, despite what all they did to him, right? And he recognized that though what they were meaning to do that was evil, he saw that God was intending good behind it the whole time to save not only his family, but even the whole nation and the whole region with the famine that was going on. So that was pretty amazing. All right, I learned something big, and I want to get a volunteer to help me out with this. Alyssa, would you volunteer for this? You're just about the right size. So come on and stand up here. And I'm going to call down my trusty sidekick and helper, Mr. Brian Meyer. Okay, stand up there. Okay, for this, I'm going to have to blindfold you. But first, go short. But first, we're going to show you a little of what we're going to do. Okay, you're going to have to trust us. Do you trust me? Yes? Okay, that's maybe, we'll see. Yeah, you could probably trust me, most likely. What we're going to have you do is we're going to blindfold you, and we're going to have you step up onto this piece of wood, okay? Then you're going to put your hands on our shoulders just to stabilize yourself. Jeffrey, you're going to stand behind just in case she falls up. We're going to lift you up in the air, okay? Does that sound good? Okay. All right. Not only trusting, but brave. Okay, but you're doing it all blindfolded. Yeah. When she falls? It's not an if she falls. Okay. You gonna get up? Okay, now walk this way on it. All right. Now, turn around. Okay, you're gonna put one shoulder on Mr. Myers' shoulder and then one on mine, okay? Are you ready? Okay, we're gonna lift up. And then we're gonna lift you as high as we can. How tall are you? Where are you at? How high up?
I don't know.
Are you really, really high up?
Yeah.
Feel free to take your blindfold off just to see.
Okay.
Can you get it? All right, Alyssa. How far did you think you were out there? Like way up there?
Like above your head.
Yeah, we kind of tricked you a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, it took a lot of trust for you to get up on that thing and to believe that we were going to keep you safe up on there, right? And then you couldn't see anything that was going on. And what it felt like going on was not what was actually going on, right? No, because you didn't know. You didn't have all the cues, and you didn't have the same picture, the same image that everybody else out here had as they watched you get nervous when you were just a couple feet off the ground. And it's the same thing with Joseph. Joseph, everything in his life seemed to be going bad, didn't it? Yeah? It seemed like sometimes it went from bad to worse over and over. And then all of a sudden, God opened up these opportunities for him and gave him these incredible responsibilities over Egypt and everything, and it started getting better. And so Joseph had to trust God, despite what it felt like around him, despite like what he couldn't see in God's picture of what God was doing. Joseph had to choose to trust God in all of that, right? And so I think that's the lesson that we have to learn, is that sometimes in life, the things in your life are going to feel like they're happening for bad purposes, or that horrible things are happening to you, or that, you know, life just isn't going the way that you want. But you have to trust that God sees a bigger picture than you, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and choose to trust him and follow that plan despite what it feels like around you, okay? Has everybody got it? All right, let's pray. You guys follow after me. Lord, we thank you for your plan for us. We thank you for giving us hope, special abilities, forgiveness, and a family. Help us to serve you with all our might, all our lives. Amen. All right. John.
Thank you.
After interpreting dreams for the baker, up to this point, we've read about Joseph's success in Egypt, his rise to fame and power. Yet it's interesting to note that his heart seems to be with his family. Reread the previous pages and count how many times you notice Joseph weeping over his mended relationship with his family. Joseph didn't just forgive his brothers, he gave them a new life. The people living in Canaan, where Joseph's family lived, suffered from the same famine that gripped Egypt. Joseph knew that the famine would last 5 more years, and he also knew that he could provide for his family. In fact, Joseph told his brothers to leave their personal belongings behind, because Pharaoh promised them, "The best of the land of Egypt is yours." He directed his brothers to Goshen, an area about 900 square miles that was some of the finest land in Egypt. There, Jacob's sons could live as shepherds, enjoy Pharaoh's good graces, and be closer to Joseph. In Egypt, the Israelites thrived. There, they acquired property, and they were fruitful, and their population grew rapidly. God is fervent about his desire for a relationship with us. After all, that's why he sent Jesus. And when we begin a relationship with God, we become his children, children who are promised an eternal life, an eternal home with a family of believers. God wants us the best. An enormous perk of the Christian walk that we join God's family, so we don't have to be alone. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
Let's all stand together and sing the theme song for BBS one more time, One True God. Praise the Lord. Would you let the story of Joseph fill you with hope, make you realize the gifts that God has given to you and the forgiveness that he's given to you and the family that he's given to you here at First Presbyterian of Dearborn and all over the world. And now may the God of Joseph fill your heart with his grace, that as you go out from here, you might also make an impact in our culture like Joseph did in Egypt. Amen. You are dismissed.